Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Well, it's good to be with you the last few weeks. Where have I been? I've been in Switzerland, Italy, Taunton, Germany. Next Sunday I should be in Wales. Sunday after that in France. And people are still asking me, are you still traveling? So it's good to be here, at least for the odd Sunday. And I've seen God do amazing things during these last few weeks and mentioned some of those things in a little while. But this morning, I'm firmly resolved not to mention Arsenal's victory in the FA Cup yesterday.
As was I.
And I'm firmly resolved not to point out that no team has won the cup more times than Arsenal, and that no manager has managed a team more than Arsene Wenger. So that all goes to show that resolutions mean absolutely nothing. And actually, that is part of the message, because we can make resolutions, have a lot of talk, but what matters is what happens, what takes place. And I want you to turn to John chapter 16, verse 15. This is in the Truth Version. Everything that the Father has... Jesus is speaking, of course. Everything that the Father has, I also have. And everything I have, the Spirit will take and reveal to you in your experience. Then I just explain. So I tell you clearly that everything the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have is yours. Now, this is Jesus speaking to disciples. And he's called every one of us to be his disciple. Now, I've got a very, very simple message, really, this morning. Our God is supernatural. Now, supernatural means above the natural and greater than the natural. So, when Jesus was teaching the disciples what is called the prayer of faith in Mark 11, the first thing he said was, have faith in God. Now, that might seem to be a pretty obvious statement, but what he is saying is, have faith in who God is. Yes. Have faith in the one who is supernatural. You've had an earthly father, but you have a heavenly Father who is supernatural. You have a Savior who is supernatural. God has gifted you with his Spirit who is supernatural. You know the truth because you are taught the truth in this church, that Christ is in you. Therefore, the supernatural one is in you. That if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the supernatural power of God is in you. Yeah. That which is above the natural, that which is greater than the natural, is in you. Everything that God has done in your life is supernatural. The forgiveness of sins is supernatural. The eradication of all the guilt that was the result of the sins that you have committed, all that guilt being eradicated is a supernatural event. Knowing that freedom from guilt is the result of what God has done supernaturally. The new birth that you have is a supernatural birth. You have your natural birth, but you have the supernatural birth. Being filled with the Holy Spirit was a supernatural event. Jesus says that the kingdom of God is not over here or over there, but the kingdom of God is within you. So the supernatural kingdom of God is within you. So if you are living in Christ, you're living in the one who is supernatural. If Christ is in you, the supernatural one is living in you. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are filled with the supernatural power of God that raised Jesus from the dead and enabled him to ascend into the glory of heaven. Everything is supernatural. So something needs to change in the lives of most believers because much of their thinking is natural and not supernatural. I take our students through John's Gospel every year. And one of the things I show them from that is how Jesus is teaching the disciples to think spiritually, or in other words, to think supernaturally. Now, a good example of that is the feeding of the multitude. When Jesus said to the disciples, "You feed them," their response was natural. Where will we get bread here in this isolated place? Natural thinking. It would cost a year's wages to give all of them just a little piece. Natural thinking. But the scripture says that when Jesus told them that they were to feed the multitude, he already knew what he would do. Why did he already know? Because he was looking at the situation supernaturally. So he was seeing what was supernaturally possible. And because he believed the supernatural happened. All he did was to give thanks over the bread and the fish, break it in pieces, and give it to the disciples. As the disciples began to distribute it, because Jesus said they were to feed the people, they saw the supernatural activity of God. That the more they broke off the bread, the more bread there was. The more they gave pieces of fish, the more fish there was. So that by the time the whole multitude, which was 5,000 men plus the women and children, so there could have been as many as 10,000 in all, by the time they had finished feeding them, they collected 12 baskets full of all the pieces that were left over. Now that is supernatural. Hello? So just as God was, or Jesus was, teaching those disciples to think supernaturally, to have a supernatural perspective on all the circumstances of their lives, so he is wanting to teach us this same thing. Don't think naturally about your circumstances. Think supernaturally, because faith has to be expressed in trusting God to work supernaturally. Yeah. And I brought you this message this morning because God has been saying to me these last two or three days that the problem for many people when they pray is they're expecting God to help naturally, but not supernaturally. Yeah. They're expecting him to give them a little bit of natural help, but not to really bring his victory, his supernatural victory, into the circumstances so that we see supernatural events taking place. Now, during these last few weeks, I've been leading groups of people through the process of Reformation. Now, there's been no time or opportunity to do that here yet. We'll be doing it at Faith Camp, of course, because it isn't a question just of mentioning the fact that God is going to move with by His Spirit in a process of Reformation, but it's a question of leading people step by step through a process that can initiate this Reformation in their lives. And God had promised me that as I did this, so He would confirm His Word in supernatural ways. So the first time that I led a group of people through, I don't know how many, but probably in the hundreds, people were immediately supernaturally healed. I'll tell you just two of the events that took place, because so people were shouting out so many things, it was impossible to actually hear what they were all saying, and they were only asked to shout out if they'd actually received the miracle of their healing. One woman I know had had a condition for 50 years and was immediately healed. Something supernatural happened. Now, I know the woman slightly and would know that therefore she had been praying faithfully for 50 years. But at that moment, a supernatural intervention from God took place. Amen. And after 50 years, she was healed. There was another medical doctor who had cancer diagnosed, and her tumor immediately disappeared. And her fellow doctors, her own doctors, on the following day examined her, could find no tumor, and were absolutely amazed at what had happened. Now, we praise God for supernatural events like that. And you know, Jesus said that He will confirm His Word with signs following. Yes. I believe the time to see miracles is after the Word, when faith has come through hearing the Word, and then we can believe God to work supernaturally. God doesn't know how to do anything in the natural. If He is supernatural by nature, everything He does will be supernatural, will have a supernatural dimension to it. So Jesus tells the disciples that they are to bear much fruit, fruit that lasts. The only fruit that can last is supernatural fruit.
Yes.
That is the result of God's supernatural activity in our lives. We can bear a lot of natural fruit. At the time of judgment, that will all pass away. That will get burnt up in the fire. That's all wood, hay, and straw. But what the Holy Spirit produces in us and through us will survive the testing because it is supernatural. It is the work of the supernatural Spirit of God in and through His people. Now, what God is wanting us to do is to live in the supernatural. I was talking to you a few weeks ago, and I did this little demonstration up here about what it means to walk on the narrow way with Jesus. Now, if you're walking with Jesus daily, you are walking in the supernatural daily, because Jesus is supernatural. He came into our natural world for 33 years, but He was still possessing His supernatural nature. So He had a human nature, His natural nature, but He had a supernatural nature, His divine nature. And the amazing thing is that when God gave you new birth, He gave you a new nature.
Amen.
He gave you a supernatural nature. And like Jesus in His humanity, you have your human nature and you have your God nature, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it's always a question of whether you function at the level of your human nature or whether you function at the level of your God nature, your divine nature. And Peter, in the beginning of his second letter, says that we actually participate in the divine nature. We are able to participate in the divine nature of God, the supernatural nature of God. So if you live in Christ, you live in the supernatural one. If Christ lives in you, the supernatural one lives in you. We can still choose to function at the level of the natural. God will never force us to function at the level of the supernatural. What is the difference between the two? Well, you function in the supernatural by the expressing of faith in the one who is supernatural.
Amen.
This is why Jesus said on a number of occasions to people that your faith has made you whole, or your faith has healed you, or your faith has saved you. You can translate the Greek in all those ways. Your faith has saved you. Why? Because your faith is in the supernatural activity of God. Now, our problem is expressing this supernatural presence, activity, power of God within our natural lives. We look at situations and we see what they look like in the natural. And the more you look at a situation in the natural, the more faith drains away. Unless you realize, now wait a minute, the scripture says, I'm to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. If I simply look at the circumstances, speak about the circumstances, even pray about the circumstances, I'm going to be left with the circumstances.
That's true.
Whereas if I'm putting my focus on Jesus, on what he has done, I'm speaking his words, I'm having faith in his supernatural intervention, then the circumstances are going to change. The circumstances have to change. The circumstances cannot remain the same. So when Jesus is teaching these disciples to pray, having said, have faith in God, he then says, speak to the mountain. But you must believe in your heart. Now, the moving of the mountain is, of course, the moving of the particular problem, the transformation in the circumstances in which you're placed. That is supernatural. You can't move the mountain, but you can speak to it, and supernaturally, God will remove it. Do we have any believers in the room? So prayer is to be a supernatural activity. When we pray, we're to expect the supernatural. When you come here on a Sunday morning, you should come expecting the supernatural. We're not here to have a service. We're here to encounter the supernatural God in the power of his supernatural spirit, to hear his supernatural word inspiring supernatural faith so that we see the supernatural intervention of God in the circumstances of our lives. It's all supernatural. The trouble with the Christian religion is it's taken the supernatural out and you're only left with the natural. Hello?
Yeah.
Jesus did not come to found a Christian religion. He came with the message and the life and power of God's kingdom.
Amen.
He didn't say, let a new religion come. He said, let the kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the kingdom is supernatural. God's will is supernatural. It's his supernatural purpose being outworked in the natural. So that's what you see in Jesus. We see the miracles that were performed during the course of his ministry. Yet he never claimed that they were his miracles. He said, these are not my works, they're the works of the one who sent me. They are the works of the Father. Why? Because what he was doing was exercising faith in the supernatural activity of his divine nature, and he knew that his Father would honor that, and he would see the results that were the result of that. So when he stood before the tomb of Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, he looked up to heaven, raised his eyes and his hands like this, and he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me.
Thank you.
He actually said, I'm only saying this for the sake of all those that are standing around.
Yes.
Because the Father knew what was in the heart of Jesus. Jesus knew what was in the heart of Jesus. And he knew what the Father was going to do. So he says, Lazarus, come out. And immediately Lazarus came out, all bound up in his grave clothes. But he had to say, Lazarus, come out. Otherwise, all the dead would have been raised. He was only calling one out of the tomb. Hallelujah. So we've got to be very specific when we pray and specific about what we're believing. So God is just reminding us, because what I'm saying to you is not really new to you, he's reminding us, I want to see you walking in the supernatural every day. Now, that means we have supernatural expectations.
Yeah.
We are speaking the supernatural over our lives because God's word is not natural. Why are the words of Scripture different from any other book that you read, even by anointed authors that write Christian books? Mentioning no names, but there's something different about Scripture because it's supernatural. And people can read the words in this book, and supernatural events can take place in their lives as they read.
Yes.
Now, you can read the scriptures mindlessly, and, you know, nothing much is going to happen. But when you read the word of God with faith, the spirit and life that is in God's word gets released in you.
Yes.
Something supernatural is taking place, which is why it's so important for us to feed on the word of God every day.
Amen.
Why it's so important for us to let our faith be encouraged and built up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, God is infinitely wise, and his wisdom is supernatural. And we heard the other week, I was telling you all about agapetos being the beloved ones of God, that he seeks our highest good on every occasion, all the time. That's what it means to be loved by God. He is seeking your highest good. Now, your highest good is not just to get healed of some physical condition. Your highest good is to see the spiritual, the emotional, and the physical well-being that God desires for you. We tend to bring a particular need before God that is causing us some pain or inconvenience, or may even be some kind of dangerous physical condition. But God is not in the business of healing diseases. He heals people from diseases.
Amen.
And his concern is for you as a person, for the whole person that you are in spirit, soul, and body. So, you know, some people sort of isolate the physical thing from the other aspects of their lives. But God doesn't do that. He looks upon you as a person. He sees what is happening in you as a person. And his concern is to further his purpose for you as a person because he is seeking your highest welfare. I think of that lady who was healed of a condition she'd had for 50 years. I know her to be a wonderful saint, wonderful child of God. And God would have done all kinds of things in her life during those 50 years. But somehow, on that occasion, faith gets released, something of the power and the authority of God gets released into her life, and 50 years of pain and inconvenience were ended. That's God, isn't it?
Amen.
But you see, he had still been working for her welfare all throughout those 50 years. Amen?
Yep.
Because that's the nature of his love. And sometimes I believe that we have conditions which are not immediately resolved by God to keep us or to bring us into the place of really trusting Him.
Yes.
Of learning what it is to speak the supernatural over the natural, to believe what is supernatural above the natural, beyond the natural. And we get so concerned with the natural while God is still doing in our lives what He was doing in those first disciples of Jesus, trying to teach us to think supernaturally, to have a supernatural perspective on our own lives, on the lives of others around us, on the events that are taking place in our lives. I never pray for Arsenal because that would be unfair. They're doing well enough without my prayer. But you see, you don't play around with the supernatural. You know, God has invested His supernatural authority, His supernatural power in us for His kingdom purposes, not to support a football team. So I would never pray for them. I mean, I would pray that the people in the team would come to know the Lord, but then I'd pray that even Chelsea and Man United people would come to know the Lord, and the sooner the better. But because we want everybody to know the Lord. But you see, we don't pray out of some prejudice. We pray out of the will of God to see the kingdom come, to see the will of God being established, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of other people too. And this whole business of reformation that you keep hearing me talk about is really seeing God's purpose established in His church in the way that He intends. And that doesn't mean that we're out of His purpose, but it means that we're not fully in His purpose, that there's so much more He wants to do in His church, in every church on the face of the earth. There's no church that fully expresses the life of God in the way that He intends. But He wants to bring reformation into every congregation, including ours, so that more of Christ, more of the Spirit, more of the supernatural is being expressed in our lives. And what He wants to do is to bring us to the place where, this might sound a bit strange, where the supernatural becomes natural.
Yes.
Now, that's what it's like when you live in revival. And Caroline and I have lived in revival, and we know what it is to sometimes for several years to be in that situation where you are thinking supernaturally. You're expecting the supernatural all the time. You are... No, it's okay, dear. Just give it to Caroline, will you? Thank you very much. We are expecting God to act supernaturally because of the supernatural encounter that you have with Him in times of revival. And this is what Reformation is about. Reformation is not a program for change, you know, where people will see, well, these are the changes that need to happen in our church, so let's work at them. Because that would be trying to transform the body of Christ, which is a supernatural body, by natural means. And that will never work. So it's got to be the work of the supernatural Spirit of God. And you remember a few months ago, for several weeks, we've just preached about different aspects of the Holy Spirit. God was really preparing us for what He's about to do in these coming months. Because we're going to experience such a supernatural reformation here.
Amen.
Thank you for the encouragement of 20 of you. I hope the others catch the fire. praise God, because it's going to be a very wonderful time. I mean, when you begin to think supernaturally, and whenever you come together, you're expecting the supernatural. Like, you know, when we next come for the prayer evening on the 10th, we shouldn't come just expecting a night of prayer, but an encounter with the supernatural God. And what we pray will have supernatural effect. It will actually transform situations. Yes. Even when we're praying for the blue cards every Sunday morning, we should anticipate something supernatural will happen to every single person mentioned on those cards. That no matter where they are, no matter what their condition at this time, God will touch their lives supernaturally. There will be supernatural intervention. People that aren't saved will be saved. People that need healing will be healed. People that need deliverance will receive deliverance. People that are in some kind of bondage, they're going to be set free, because we believe that God will act supernaturally. Now, when you pray for those blue cards, that's what you need to be thinking. That's what you need to be believing. You're not just sort of there as one of the crowd and somebody up front is praying and you're saying amen at the end of it. No. You should be engaged in that. Lord, I'm believing supernatural intervention for every single person on those cards. I believe you touch with your healing grace right now, even as we pray, no matter where those people are, you are moving by your supernatural power in their lives. Amen. This is what it's all about. And if you are in need of some supernatural intervention of God, he wants to do that, but he wants to do it in his way. And it may well be that there are other things that he supernaturally wants to take care of before the particular thing that's concerning you. See, that's the point. He looks at you as the person that you are, and he seeks your greatest welfare as that person. That's what it means to say that he loves you. He doesn't see you just with a crook leg or whatever it may be, and that needs to be sorted out. No, he is concerned that you are living in the best, that you're living in the full revelation of who he is, of all that he has done for you through Jesus on the cross. You see, the cross was a supernatural event within the course of natural history. But it wasn't just a person being crucified. Lots of people were crucified before, during, and since the time of Jesus on earth. But there was something remarkable, something totally different about his crucifixion from every other crucifixion, because supernaturally he was taking all sin upon himself. Supernaturally he was taking all sickness upon himself. Supernaturally he was taking every bondage that is possible for man to experience upon himself. Supernaturally, he was even overcoming the devil and all that the devil can do in the lives of people. It was a supernatural event. It was a supernatural victory that he has now won, and he wants us to be living in the good of that supernatural victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, it's going to be exciting. Moving out of where we are now in our thinking to embrace more and more and more of a supernatural. I can remember when God first sort of released a spirit of faith in my life. At that time, I was immediately aware, well, every prayer I pray now has to be answered. It has to be answered because of the promises of Jesus. But of course, Jesus says you will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe. Now, we believe that God is able to do certain things, but that's not faith. That's knowledge. See, faith is actually believing him to do it. faith is believing in the supernatural intervention of God. Now, don't let's underestimate the way he does help people in the natural. The way he sustains many sick people, for example, in the natural until that supernatural intervention. And don't let's underestimate the value of the whole medical profession and doctors and all that they do, because you see, they are actually cooperating with the healing processes that God has built into his creation.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So it's not just a matter of supernatural events and thinking that we've got to live within certain problems, not just physical problems, but other problems too, until God does something about it. What we're doing is doing what Jesus said. You speak to the mountain, you believe in your heart, God supernaturally says the mountain will be moved. And then he says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Right. Now, he doesn't say it will be yours always immediately, but you believe that you have received it. You believe in that supernatural intervention of God. You believe in the supernatural victory that he has won on the cross. You believe in the supernatural outcome of that situation. And so you continue to give thanks to him until you see the evidence and the outworking of that. Now, if you believe that, you will not grumble or complain about your situation. Because you can't grumble and complain about the situation and say you're walking in victory over the situation.
That's true.
Yeah. Amen. I mean, you've got to decide, okay, where do I stand? Where do I stand in terms of faith? It's not a question of being unrealistic. It's not a question of being in denial of the situation. Not talking about that. You face the reality of the situation and you face what you need to believe God to do about the situation. You believe in his supernatural answer to your prayer for that situation, and you live in the good of that victory until you see the outworking of what you have believed.
Amen.
During that course of events, God may take you through a process. If it's a problem of healing, what you receive medically can be part of that process. But at any time, there can be that supernatural intervention of God. There can even be the supernatural working within the natural as that process of healing takes place. Don't try to tell God how to do it. I mean, God knows how to do stuff much better than you do. I mean, he brought creation into being, and I don't think you've ever created anything in the way that he's created. What we've got to beware of is allowing anything to come in to deceive us from having a clear, clear view of what it is that God has said and done and already accomplished for us through Jesus. Last Monday, Caroline and I were in a very, very beautiful place. We were just staying overnight in a hotel up in the Alps, and it was beautiful. We had a beautiful day of a lake, sort of 3,000 feet, about 1,000 meters beneath us. But the weather closed in, as it can happen in mountains. And early on the following morning, I got up and I was praying in front of this view. And I could, as I began to pray, I could see the 3,000 feet or so down to the lake. And then as I was praying, the mist and the cloud began to move in. And the more that happened, the more, of course, the view was obscured. And that mist, that cloud, you could actually see the cloud forming off the mountain where we were. And it then obliterated the whole view. There was no lake, there were no mountains, there was nothing except the cloud. And as I was praying, God said to me, "That is the nature of deception."
Yeah. Yes.
that even when people have a clear view of the truth, deception comes in like a cloud. And at first, it doesn't seem too dangerous or too conspicuous. It's just like a film, and you can see something of the scenery through the cloud. And it can sort of come and go and blow away, but then it can build up. And if you allow that deception to build up, it actually has the ability to obscure the faith view altogether.
Yeah.
And sadly, that's what happens in many people. What starts is just a little bit. Now, what's deception? Deception is believing anything other than the truth.
Amen.
Jesus is the truth. His words are the words of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So as we keep hold of the Word of God in the power of the Spirit and keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the truth, our vision is clear. But when we allow other thoughts, other feelings, a different confession of faith on our lips, then the mist begins to roll in.
That's true.
And if we keep speaking the negative, the mist gets thicker and thicker. The cloud envelops us more and more, and the faith view is obscured altogether.
Yes.
And of course, when that happens, people feel like giving up. Or they say, God doesn't care. Or God isn't hearing. Or God isn't answering. Or God doesn't want to deal with this, that, or the other situation. And it's not that at all. It's just that something of the clarity of faith has been obscured by something that is not of faith.
Yeah.
In other words, we might have begun with the supernatural, but then the natural thinking comes in. And the natural obscures the supernatural. I was talking to someone earlier in the week, somebody who'd had a diagnosis of a serious terminal illness, and this person was going through medical process, but how this person's faith had reached a new level where nothing, she would not accept anything, any thought that was not of faith in the outcome that God desires. And those are the principles of faith that we teach you here. When you're in a situation like that, then you draw on those principles. But why only draw on those principles if you're in a life-threatening situation? You know, I was told that this particular person will not listen to anybody that says anything negative because she's walking in the positive. And God is honoring that by what is happening in her physically. You see, it's all a question of attitude, isn't it? It is a question of attitude. And, you know, even your attitude can affect how a medical procedure will influence you.
Yeah.
If you have a positive attitude, even the medical will have much greater effect than if you're of a negative disposition.
Yes.
So it's all a question of attitude. And what God wants for us is to have a faith attitude. And you see, a faith attitude says, well, look what God has done for me supernaturally. I'm born again. I have had a supernatural birth. Christ lives in me. The supernatural one lives in me. I am filled with the supernatural power of the Spirit of God. I have the supernatural kingdom of God within me. I have the authority of Jesus Christ, the supernatural authority of Jesus Christ that overcomes all the power of the evil one.
Amen.
I have the supernatural authority of Christ to pray in his name. I have the supernatural authority of Christ to believe in his name, that all that I say and do will be said and done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, is this a message to get you blessed? Well, in a way, but God's got a much, much bigger purpose than that. He wants you to be a blessing.
That's right.
He wants you to spread the blessing of his supernatural life, his supernatural love, his supernatural power wherever you're going. You can help people in the natural, and you can see change happening in the natural. But when the supernatural begins to kick in, that's when you see the transformation of lives. That's when you see people receiving new life. And the new birth is supernatural. And this is why Jesus says, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see the kingdom of heaven unless you've had a supernatural birth.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You must be born again. So we praise God for that supernatural birth that has given us a supernatural nature. It's given us his supernatural life so that now we can learn to walk and live in the supernatural. We can pray expecting the supernatural.
That's right. Yes.
So when you're in a situation, we keep sort of coming back to healing because that's a good example, but the principle applies to absolutely any situation. When you pray about a situation, what are you expecting? Are you actually expecting, well, let me put it this way. Are you praying because you have a duty to pray? You're just praying out of a sense of duty. You feel you ought to pray. Because you can pray in that way, can't you? You know, you hear about it and you say, oh, I ought to pray, and you pray, and you think, well, I've done my bit. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not going to be very effective prayer, is it? I don't think there's going to be much oomph in that kind of prayer. So we can pray out of a sense of duty. We can simply pray out of a sense of need. There is a need, so we pray about the need, but we spend more time talking about the need than talking about the answer of the need to the need. Hello?
Yep.
We tell the Lord all about the need, and he knows all about it far more than we do, but you tell him about it, and the more faith is draining away. You're not actually praying with faith. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Okay, or we can pray in the way that Jesus teaches us. We can pray with faith. We can pray with that expectation, right? Now, because I pray, there is going to be supernatural response to my prayer because I'm praying to the supernatural one. Now, if I'm praying for somebody else, I can't wish what I want onto that person's life. I can speak what is right, I can speak what is good, I can speak the health, the healing, I can speak the resolution of the problem that they're facing, whatever that might be. I can speak financial provision, I can speak all kinds of things over that person's life. But I can't make what I want happen in that person's life. This is why it's important to heed what the scripture says and to pray at all times in the spirit.
That's right.
Why? Because the spirit will show us what to pray. The spirit will show us what to believe. The spirit will give us the right words to speak over that situation at that time. Are you there?
Yes.
And sometimes, you see, we don't sort of go for the glory thing that there's going to be a sudden miracle. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says, well, now, first of all, I want you to pray this. I want you to speak this over that person's life because that's what I need to work in them first. And then he will give you something else. Now I want you to pray this over that person's life because that's the next stage of what I need to do. And then you come to the point of right now I speak the final release, the miracle, the supernatural intervention, whatever it may be. God is infinitely wise, and he always knows the best way. Amen. So we are to pray at all times in the Spirit. You know, we can all say, oh, Lord, I believe, boom, 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 boom. We can go marching up and down and tell him what we believe. And but he actually knows what we believe without us telling him. Hello?
Yeah.
And what he's going to do is not answer our ranting and raving. He's going to answer the faith that is in the heart.
Yes.
That's why Jesus says, when you speak to the mountain, you must believe in your heart. This is why he says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you believe. Believe where? In the heart. When you speak to the mountain, you must believe in your heart. So sometimes, you know, before we even pray about a situation, we need to confess to God the absence of faith and ask him to forgive us. And then we need to pray, Lord, speak your word into my heart to inspire the faith that I need. In other words, sometimes there's a lot about perseverance in faith. Jesus teaches to persevere in prayer. And you know, when he says, ask and you will receive, actually, if you translate the Greek literally, it's go on asking and you will receive, go on seeking and you will find, go on knocking and it will be open to you. For all who go on asking will receive, and all who go on seeking will find, and all who go on knocking will, to them it will be opened. It's this continuous present tense that you hear me speak about sometimes. So, sometimes, you know, God is going to take us through that process, and we need to keep praying because of what he's working in us as we pray. So praise God. That doesn't mean that we sort of lapse into a kind of compromise and say, well, God's going to have to take me through a whole process. No, no, no. The process is supernatural.
Yeah.
Right? What God does step by step is supernatural.
Yeah.
And if you know there is that sudden miracle, that sudden release, whether it happens after a period of time, whether it happens as soon as we pray. I mean, in my experience, it's happened both ways. There are times when something attacks me and I pray and immediately it's gone. There are other times when God's had to take me through a process. But the point is that on whichever way it is, you are in the place of faith.
Yes. Yes.
You are thanking God. You believe that you have received, as Jesus said, and it will be yours. And when we're praying for others, that we pray with that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. We pray being led by the Holy Spirit. And God will show us what to believe. And sometimes, you know, are you hearing?
Yes.
Because this is important. Sometimes the problem is this. Not what we pray, but how we pray. Because if we pray with faith, we pray with authority. When you pray with authority, you command. You see, you can only see a mountain move if you command it. Command it to be moved, Jesus says. Command it. If you command the mountain to move, you're not talking to Jesus. You don't command God. You don't tell God what to do. Prayer isn't telling God what to do. God is putting into action what he commands us to do. Are you there?
Yes.
You know, it's not, I mean, who are we to tell God what to do? But we are here to listen to what the Spirit says and then command to take place that which he reveals to us. That's when mountains get moved. And sometimes we're praying, but without that commanding authority. And that can suddenly come upon you. You can suddenly realize that. And you know, on a particular time, the authority of God comes upon you. You find that it's not that you're shouting louder, But you're just commanding. You know that jolly thing, that situation has to change. That need has to be met. That mountain has to go. It has to. There's no other alternative. And you see, this is the point. Faith is being sure and certain of what we hope for. You're sure and certain that mountain's had it. It has to move. There can be no other alternative. It has to go. Because you've spoken with authority in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we can do that immediately. Sometimes God takes us through the process until we're in the place where that can happen. And last of all, you know, God has a knack of working in our lives in a way that causes us to do what we wouldn't otherwise do, even though it's his will. Let me give you an example. See, there's a lot of people who don't want to feel dependent upon anybody else, even other Christians, even other believers in the same church to which they belong. There's that kind of independence. And God is not wanting us to have a faith independence. This is why he says, when any two or three of you agree concerning anything, it will be done. He's saying, look for others to agree with you. Look for others who have the same faith. You find someone with the same faith expectations that you have, and it will be done by my Father in heaven. What will be done? Well, whatever your faith expectations are, whatever you're agreeing, will be done. Now, that's not a superficial agreement. It's an agreement of heart expectation. Hello? And you see, God has this way of showing every one of us, you are not an independent believer. You are part of my body, and I want to show you how you need the rest of the body.
That's right.
I'm not going to let you do this alone. So I've known situations where it isn't until people bring the situation to the body or to some other members in the body before they actually get the release that they need.
Yeah.
And that's just a way of God showing, you see, you're to love one another.
Yes.
You're to seek the highest good for all your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
And if you won't do that without a bit of encouragement from me, I'll give you a bit of encouragement. So you sort of get stuck until you share your need with others. And then together you see the power of God. Are we all on the same page here? Let's all stand then, shall we? Because we're all together here. What power is in this room? A few hundred people filled with the supernatural life and power of Jesus. What could be released in these next few minutes? What supernatural events could take place now? Some instantaneous miracles, some God taking people through a process or furthering a process that he's already begun. But whatever way God chooses to answer you will be the best for you, will be the right thing for you. Hallelujah. So I want you just to focus on Jesus now, have faith in God, and thank him. Because, you know, we always have to begin with thanksgiving, don't we? Thank him that you have received a supernatural birth. You have been born again. Thank him for his supernatural acceptance of you, that he has supernaturally made you a child of God. Thank him that the supernatural Christ lives in you, and that according to God's word, you live in the supernatural Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank him for that supernatural gift of the Spirit. Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You have the supernatural power of God, the power that is above the natural, beyond the natural, greater than the natural. Now thank him that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of faith. Hallelujah. And thank him for the fact that Jesus is the author and perfecter of your faith. So thank him that he's already authored faith in you. He's already begun that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been born again. Otherwise, you wouldn't be a child of God. And probably you wouldn't be here this morning. So thank him for that faith that he has given you. And tell him, Lord, I want you to perfect my faith. Because you're not only the author, you're the perfecter of my faith. So I want to come to another level of faith than that in which I have been walking until this moment. Lord, I'm believing that this morning you bring me, you raise me up to a higher level of faith than that in which I have walked in the past. That I take to heart your word to believe in the supernatural outworking of the supernatural life that you have put within me. And Lord, I want to pray with supernatural expectation, expecting your supernatural intervention into the natural. I want to pray, Lord, with the supernatural authority that you have given to every believer over all the works of the evil one. Now, you might need to say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me when I pray just out of a sense of duty. Forgive me when I've prayed, but it's been more a matter of routine than of real faith expectation in your supernatural intervention. I thank you, Lord, that you forgive me for those things. You put them behind me now so that I can walk into a new chapter of faith in my life. Okay, now, I believe that God wants every person in this room to speak to mountains, to speak with authority, and command them to be moved. But before you do that, I want you just to examine. You know, the scripture says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Now, I believe that what that scripture means is, before you pray, just examine yourself. What do you believe will happen? as a result of what you're about to pray. Not what do you believe could happen, but what do you believe will happen? What will be the outcome of this prayer? Do you believe the mountain will be moved? Whether it's moved during a process that God takes you through, whether it's removed immediately, that's not the point. Do you believe it will be removed? Are you sure and certain of that? Is that the faith the Holy Spirit is inspiring within you? Well, you can be like the man that said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Forgive me, Lord, for the unbelief. Speak your word of faith now into my heart. Perhaps God's been doing that through the message this morning. And you've got that attitude right. This is it. I've had enough of this. I'm not going to put up with this any longer. I have the supernatural authority given me by God to address this mountain now and command it to move. So, okay, you do that. You'll have to speak. You have to speak words. You can't do it by thinking. You don't have to shout. You don't have to speak loudly so all those around you can hear what you say. But you do have to speak because Jesus says, speak to the mountain. He doesn't say, think about it. He says, speak to it. Speak means speak. That means words have to cross your lips. So speak to that mountain now. Command it to be moved. Command it. This is with authority. When command, you're not asking God. You're speaking to the mountain. You're speaking to the need. You're saying, you have to go. You have to get out of my life. I'm speaking to this need, whatever it is. I'm speaking to this need now. Go. Leave my life immediately in the name of Jesus. Don't call it a mountain. Just address the need, whatever it is. Get out of my life. You do not belong to my life. If it's a disease, you do not belong to my body. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not a temple of disease. So that disease has to go. It has to leave me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Then Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe it, you have received it. So now you begin to speak to him and you begin to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that because I've spoken to that mountain, it has to be moved. Thank you, Lord, that you honor your word. Thank you that you honor your promises. Thank you that supernaturally you intervene into the natural circumstances of my life. Thank you that those circumstances have to change. Thank you that you will cause them to change. Thank you, Lord, that even now, mountains are being moved out of people's lives. I speak to every dis-ease in the name of Jesus. I say, you are to release the people of God in this room right now. I speak to any with cancer. I speak to those cancers. Those tumors are to shrivel up in the name of Jesus. I speak to those blood disorders in the name of Jesus. Your blood is to be purified. Now, right now, the power of God, the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ comes upon you right now to purify that blood, to cleanse that blood. Hallelujah. I speak to all those arthritic needs. I speak to those joints and backs that need to be healed. I speak now in the name of Jesus. Receive the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those needs have to be overcome. They have to be overcome in the name of Jesus. I speak to those skin conditions in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all those skin diseases, they have to be healed now. Where you know the skin is too dry, it needs to be moistened. Where it's too moist, it needs to be dried. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all those rashes and all the dermatological things that need to happen are happening now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for all the testimonies of your wonderful grace. Thank you that your mercy is supernatural. Your grace is supernatural. Your love is supernatural. Your power is supernatural. Thank you for the supernatural things that you're doing in the lives of your people now. Now there's all kinds of other things, internal things that God is doing. I speak to those needs right now in the name of Jesus. Receive the healing power of the Lord be released within you right at this moment. Come on, give him glory, give him honor, give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. Those migraines and headaches, you're getting released. Somebody, you have been set free immediately from depression and from all the oppression that the enemy has sought to bring upon you. That cloud is just disappearing, and your vision is going to become clear. A vision for your life, the vision for your future. Hallelujah. You are not a depressed person, you're a healed person. Hallelujah. You're a liberated child of God. You're going to live in the glorious freedom of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Come on, let's just lift our hands. Let's lift our hands. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, let's exalt him. Exalt him. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. And Lord, we pray for all in the medical profession, for the doctors, the nurses, the welfare workers, all the health visitors, all those, Lord, the maternity and midwives and all the rest. Lord, we just thank you for all of them. We thank you, Lord, for the Christian witness of some in the medical profession, that they can that not only minister in the natural, but even see your supernatural intervention and work coming into the lives of their patients. And we give you glory, Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that you died that we might be a healthy people, that we might be a whole people. Thank you, you want us to be healthy in spirit. You want us to be healthy in mind. You want us to be healthy in emotions. You want us to be healthy in our bodies. We praise you, Lord, that you seek our highest good, and we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We bless your holy name. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Just raise your hand if you know that God has met with you in some way this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. It'll be wonderful to have some orange cards next week.
Yes.
So that you've got time just to test what God has done, and then you give him the glory. It's a great encouragement to others to hear of what God has done in you. And let's come with this expectation.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.